Yo, have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground, I had a lot of questions. How do I record an episode? How do I get my show onto all the apps that people like to listen to? How do you make money? The answer was pretty simple for me. I started using Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. And best of all, it's 100% free and super easy to use. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise in your podcast. So that means you can get paid immediately, like right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now by reading you this ad. It's super simple. So if you always wanted to start a podcast, let's start now. Go to anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of producers using Anchor. Again, that's anchor.fm/start. See you soon. All right. Who's got Minnesota? Is this me? I'm going to take it. Because I'm going with Kat. Unfortunately, I'm going with Wiggins. And I don't know about my third. Do you waste time? Hold on.
Jimmy Butler?
Hold on. Do you waste time trying to keep Butler even though you know he wants out?
I don't think that's a proven fact, though.
Yeah, is that a thing? Like, I feel like I'm a bit out of the loop. I heard something about that, but is that like a real thing?
There's rumors that he said he wants to play with Kyrie next year. Somewhere, whatever, but that's...
Yeah, they both want to go to New York and play together. Like, come on. We've heard that about New York before.
True, yeah.
So, I don't know. It should be Butler. It's obviously Butler, but I don't know. It's kind of worrisome to have my best player say that he wants out. Having rumors about him wanting out a year before his contract ends.
Yeah, but that's any star with any, you know, lower market team, right? If they're in a team that's not New York, Boston... Los Angeles, then there's always gonna be rumors about them leaving for bigger and better things and more shoe deals and commercials and such. So I think that he probably would stay if this team, they were third seed with Jimmy Butler in the lineup and then he got hurt, then they ended up in the eighth seed. So they're bringing back essentially the same team with two other rookies. So I don't see why they can't make the playoffs again and make a push.
Because Denver's gonna come up.
We say that every year.
And the Lakers are going to be there. Sorry, man.
The Lakers, I mean, obviously they should make the playoffs with LeBron, but again, they could be a team in turmoil with all these, veteran guys who, in my opinion, are not very good, but we'll see.
Yo, how crazy would that be? After going to the finals for, 8 straight years, LeBron doesn't make the playoffs when he goes to the Lakers? How great would that be?
And even if he makes the playoffs, there's no guarantee he's going to be out of the first round because there's a lot of good teams in the West.
That's going to be a lot of fun to watch. Like, playoffs, even if they're 8th seed, it's going to be so fun to see him go against, Golden State or Houston in the first round.
Houston Rockets, first round. Yeah.
It's LeBron, you never know.
Yeah. Anyways, do you guys have anyone different on Minnesota? Or it's basically the big three, right?
Wait, yeah. So who is your third then?
Butler.
Okay, jokingly, you made it seem like you're going to shoot somebody else.
Jokingly, I put Tyus Jones on my sheet, but it's Butler.
I think in this situation, like, the only guy you could possibly sub out is Wiggins just because of his massive contract. And I think the guy that substitute him would be there's a second round pick this year in Josh Okogie. And I think that if they were to get off Wiggins' contract and have more, cap flexibility with Jen coming off the books in, I think, a year or so, and they were able to keep Cad and Butler, I think that's the ideal team that you want to build.
Jen is signed until 2021.
Really? It's that long?
He's got 3 more years. Taj is up this year.
Yeah, they should keep him, too. He's been a good influence on their team.
He's 33, though. He's old.
He is, but he still plays like a young guy.
That's true. And knowing Tibbs, he's going to be signed on until he's like 40.
Is Jamal Crawford still on the team, or is he gone now?
No,
he's a free agent.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I love Jamal Crawford, the man, forever.
Always looks like he's 20.
Yeah.
I think that's about it with Minnesota. I mean, they have their three. I guess you could go with Okogie if you want to go real young and drop Wiggins, but I don't see that ever happening.
No, they made a commitment to him, and Wiggins is still young. He's still 23, I think, now, so even though he hasn't really shown a lot of development in his game, and him and Butler's games really match up or align a little bit too much, he's still a pretty good player, and he could still improve. It's just a matter of him committing to it, unlike him committing to Canadian basketball, which is a whole other story.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about Canadian basketball. Let's talk about the New Orleans Pelicans instead. Josh, this is all you, man. Talk me out into this team, because they suck.
I wouldn't say they suck. I mean, they had a good run last year, and they obviously have one of the best three, maybe four players in the NBA in Anthony Davis. So obviously he's the first pick. Rondo, though. They did, and they replaced him with poor man's Rondo and Elfrid Payton, who's not on my list. But I have Anthony Davis, Jrue Holiday, obviously. He showed a lot last year. Like, he made a big jump, I think, from being a rare, you know, very good player to like a legit second star, I think. And then the third guy was where I had some problems. I wasn't really sure. I chose Julius Randle just because he's 4 years younger than Nico Mirotic. But between those two guys, like, they're totally different players, obviously, but they're two guys that can play, you know, a very solid 30 minutes on a contending team. So those two guys are very comparable in terms of, you know, their production and roles. But I had to choose Randle because he's younger, and he obviously made a big jump last year in his improvement. And Nico has been super consistent since he's been in the NBA in terms of, you know, what he can bring on the floor. His rebounding went, like, way up this year. His three-point shooting has been a bit sporadic, but you know that he always plays hard and he plays tough. So, with those two, again, it was a very tough decision, but I would take Randle, I think, overall.
Yeah, Nico's shooting really saved them last year, too. Since they acquired him at the deadline, man, the guy could not miss in the playoffs. Or at least in the first round.
Yeah, he's a great fit, too.
The whole flow of the team, like, the offense completely changed.
Yeah. Once they got him in there instead of Boogie, oh.
Yeah.
He moved. But, yeah, I had Randle, too. Just mainly because he's a lot younger than Nico. And he's a better defender. Nico's not a good defender at all. But he's a good
defender. He's not, but he showed some things in that Portland series. Like, he was able to slide his feet against the guards, and he was really good on the defensive boards, too. So I think their, you know, rebounding is going to be amazing next year with those three guys as your bigs. And you still have, they just signed Jahlil Okafor, who might be able to play a role for that team. And a guy who I also like, and Cheick Diallo, he's 21, 22 years old. He showed some things last year, too. So they have a really good big man rotation, if not one of the best in the NBA.
They have the original Emeka Okafor, too.
Yeah, it's so funny how the Okafor is going to be fighting for a spot next year.
Man, I can't believe Emeka made the comeback. That was amazing to see.
Yeah, I was so happy to see him back.
Yeah, he was.
Hugo, who do you have on this team?
Yeah, I had Mirotic, but... Yeah, I mean, I get your guys' point. I'd probably take Randle because he's younger, like you guys say. I just had him in there because I figured Davis is going to lose his mind because they already lost Rondo and Cousins. And, like, if Mirotic was there, I guess, fourth last year? Yeah. Well, I guess when Cousins went down, their third best player. So if you don't have him in there, I don't know. I don't think Randle gives enough versatility offensively for them to be as good without Mirotic, but... I guess either way, they're not really going to be contenders or anything like that. So I guess it doesn't matter. So, yes, I guess I'd go Randle.
Yeah, I think it would just be whoever AD wants around. I'm going to keep that guy.
True, yeah.
Basically, whatever you can do to make him happy.
Yeah.
Let's go to OKC. And Hugo, this one's all yours.
Okay, man. Well, this one's pretty easy for me. The salaries are high, but I feel like you don't really have much choice. Russ, PG, and Adams. I had them in that order, but I guess maybe even you consider Steven Adams ahead of PG just because a two-man game with Russ is pretty critical to their offense. But yeah, I don't know. I don't really have much else to say. I'll add this, though. I feel like their ceiling is still pretty limited. Like, I don't see them as a real contender. Even with all, like, their excitement and stuff, I don't get what else they can do. They need more talent, I think.
Yeah, I think the only narrative they can play is when they had Roberson in the lineup, they had the second best defense in the NBA in terms of that five-man unit. And when they had Jeremy Grant in the lineup in the playoffs, they were a huge plus against Utah. So I think in getting rid of Carmelo, they're probably going to start Patrick Patterson, but I think Jeremy Grant's going to play a majority of the minutes at the four. So you get those guys in the lineup, even though you're going to have a lack of shooting with, you know, Russ is probably your second best shooter in that lineup, which is not ideal because he shoots under 30% from three. that defensive unit is going to be real nice in the playoffs, and they have a chance against anybody, I think, besides Golden State with those five guys on the floor because of their defensive versatility And Adams is really good. Like you said, he could be the second best player on this team potentially.
Yeah. Second most valuable anyway. I don't know. Second best, but yeah, because the two-man game they play, he plays off Russ so well. Like PG's a little bit of the odd man out. They just kind of dump him the ball and let him go to work sometimes. But I don't know. It's an odd team, like to compare to some of the other best teams in the West.
Would you rather have OKC's roster or Houston's roster right now?
Houston. Going forward? Houston.
Oh, yeah, I go Houston.
Interesting. Interesting.
They, like, to me, the identity is, like, they have a clear identity, like a coach and best player with the same philosophy, same style of play.
Yeah.
And they're super good at it. OKC, you can't say that at all. Like, I have no idea what they're doing on offense. They fit PG in there just because he's such a good player. He's talented, but he doesn't, I don't really know how they fit. And a part of that is just Russ being Russ. Like, it's hard to fit anybody with him, the style of play he has. So it's an odd team.
Would you want to play with Russ? Like, is he the kind of teammate you'd want? Not you, John. No. I meant Hugo. I know you wouldn't want him.
No, not at all. I wouldn't.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair. I was just wondering because, like you said, the style of play that he has, it's so, like, my way or the highway. And at least Harden dishes off the ball, right? But Russ is just all or nothing.
I was watching, I think it was a YouTube, that YouTube channel I told you about, I think it's called The Dime Drop.
Yeah.
And they were talking about Allen Iverson's career, sort of analyzing his whole thing. And there was, a lot of it obviously had to do with his mentality and stuff. And the guy made a comparison to him and Russ. Obviously, Russ does a lot more on the floor than Iverson did. Iverson was mostly just a scorer. But, the mentality is the same. And I feel like unless he changes that somehow, I'm not sure he ever will. I don't think they'll be serious contenders. You can't be, like, even Harden, who's ball dominant and the primary scorer on his team, I still think, like, he gets his teammates involved way more. And even his usage rate, I think Russ's usage rate was still higher, wasn't it, last year?
Yeah,
so, yeah, even with, like, a guy who can create for himself, like PG, on the team. I don't know, it's odd. So I feel like, they won't be contenders unless he changes his style of play a little bit, at least.
That's never going to happen.
Nope.
I don't know, you never know, but they said that about other guys, too. They said that about Kobe, they said it about Jordan, so you never know.
Kobe never changed.
Yeah, Kobe definitely didn't change.
Man, he definitely did. What do you guys mean? When he played with Shaq, when they played the triangle offense, the only reason the team worked is because Shaq was just dominant and the triangle worked for them. So, like, it forced them to share the ball and distribute. But, like, him personally was just a terrible team player. But over the years, like, he became the number one guy, which helped him sort of allowed him to, I guess, relieve some of the responsibility and give, like, Pau Gasol and Lamar Odom some room to work. But he definitely, like, his mentality changed, I think. He still shot a ton because he was the number one guy. That's the style of play. But I think his mentality changed a little bit. He allowed other guys to contribute and stuff. I don't know.
He used his teammates as much as he wanted to. I don't think that he really changed that much. I think he's the one who pushed Shaq out, too.
Well, that's fair, though. Like, he used them as much as he wanted to, but he was the best player, so it was all right. Like, Jordan, same thing. Jordan, like, in his early years, he averaged 35-plus a couple of years a game for a season. He didn't pass the ball at all. Every time down the court, he was looking to score, no matter what. And he rebounded high. He still had a high assist rate, but his usage rate was crazy. But he changed a ton when they instituted the triangle. They had Scottie Pippen in there, and Kukoc came over. Like, he was still the main guy. He still shot a bunch, but his mentality changed a little bit. He grew up a little bit, so you never know.
Speaking of that mentality, let's get back to Paul George, who definitely doesn't have the mama mentality. Because everyone expected him to go to LA and take a prominent role. And instead, he decides to stay in Russ's shadow and be the secondary guy in this team so he doesn't have to take all the blame. So I just thought that was interesting that he signed back with them and hoping that I think he just wants to, you know, be a second star and not have to take any of the brunt of the blame once the playoffs roll around and OKC inevitably loses the first round.
But
so.
He wouldn't get that in LA either, though. LeBron gets all of that. Like, no one cares about Paul George if LeBron is in town.
No, but he would be in the limelight at least, whereas OKC can sort of hide out, because even though like Russ has a big target on his back, like nobody really cares about OKC.
I was just going to say he didn't really know Bron was going to go there, but maybe he did. Maybe that was why he decided to stay, because he's like, well, I'm not going to go to LA if LeBron's going to be there.
Yeah, no, he definitely knew LeBron was going there.
Yeah, maybe that was a part of it, because it was a strange move, but...
He just didn't want to be with LeBron.
No, not necessarily just LeBron, but I feel like if you're going to go to LA, you're going back home, you want to be the guy to like kind of bring them back into the playoffs and make them a contender again. Otherwise, what's the point of going back? Like, you're just going to play second fiddle to LeBron, and he's going to get all the fame.
Yeah, I just see like New York and LA as the same thing. Like, you're going into the beehive, right? Anytime you lose a game in the playoffs, it's going to be, you know, marginalized and broken down to like the nth degree. And you're going to be criticized like crazy. Whereas in OKC, if you lose in the first round, you don't really have any expectations anyway. So you can go back and, you know, do whatever you have to do and dance with Russ in the offseason and have a good time.
True, yeah. Russ.
Oh, man. Speaking of dancing around. The Phoenix Suns, man. This team's going to be hitting the dance floor real early because there's no way they're making the playoffs this year. So, Josh, you want to take this one away?
They're not going to make the playoffs, but I do like their core now. They have DeAndre Ayton, Devin Booker, and Josh Jackson. Those are my main three. Whereas, you know, the two other guys that they drafted 2 years ago and Marquese Chris and Dragan Bender have sort of disappointed in their first couple of years, especially Marquese Chris, I think. He just hasn't shown any type of IQ to be able to play the game of basketball, whereas Bender has shown, you know, some promise in certain spurts. He hasn't been nearly as good as everyone expected him to be, but he's still really young. So is Chris, but at least Bender has shown that he can actually play the game of basketball.
No, he hasn't.
You know, he has a few times. Like, he's shown decent, some flashes.
No, you know when I was harping on Josh Hart for dominating Summer League because he's a lot older than everyone? Dragan Bender in his third Summer League could barely keep up with the other bigs.
I think, I'm with Peter. Like, so disappointed in that guy. Yeah.
I had such high hopes for him.
I don't think he has the toughness to play in the NBA. Like, they're giving him minutes. They're giving him everything for the last few years. The team sucks. And he's not the main guy, so he's not really focused on for other defenses. And he still hasn't been able to do anything. He's not going to make it in the NBA. I think he'll be gone within 2 years.
Yeah.
At the same time, he is 20 years old, so I don't know. I still give him a shot. He's a big guy. Big guys take time to develop.
It could be an odd shot, but I don't know. I actually had TJ Warren in there instead of Josh Jackson. I think Josh Jackson he still could do some things, but he was a little bit more timid than I expected. And TJ Warren's just a beast in there. And he's still pretty young. I think he's 24 or 25.
He's 24, yeah. Yeah. I actually had Mikal Bridges as my third to go with Ayton and Booker. He's impressed me. He impressed me in Summer League.
Yeah, he could be good. You never know.
He's long. He can shoot.
I think TJ Warren for me is just like already there. So all those guys are maybes. He's a guy that's already like, he can play in the league. He can be one of the main guys. Maybe he's not he won't have all-star superstar level, but he's there. I don't know. I think Josh Jackson's potential was a little bit overrated when he came in.
Damn. He's good. Like he's not bad.
I remember watching his highlights and stuff in high school. Like he looked so good. He had so much potential. His offense looked like he could handle the ball. He could do everything. He could even shoot back then. But I don't know. He came into the league. He's just defensively he's solid, but on offense he doesn't do much. I don't know.
I think he'll need to play another year or so to really get comfortable in the league, because he just looked more shook than anything last year, I think.
Yeah, true.
He's very uncomfortable.
Shot is one of the worst looking shots in the NBA, but he has some potential, obviously, with his off the dribble game too. Like he shows some good things in terms of cutting to the basket, and like you said on defense, he could be one of the better defensive players in the NBA in a couple of years with his talent. So
that's true. Yeah, I think for me it was just I guess my own expectations. Like in high school, he looked like he was going to be a superstar, and now he looks like he could be a really good 3-and-D player.
He's got Shabazz Muhammad syndrome.
Could be, yeah.
Also, shouts to Brandon Knight for still getting paid. I haven't heard this guy's name in like 2 years, but clean 14.6 this year and then 15.6 next year.
Well, that's because DeAndre Jordan killed him about 5 years ago, so that's why we haven't heard from him.
Poor guy, man. Poor guy. Let's go to the Northwest. We're going to Portland. I'm going to roll with this one. I'm taking Dame. I'm taking CJ. And for the third spot, it's either Nurkic or Collins for me. I like Nurkic.
What? How is that an either or?
Zach Collins is nice, man. He's a good defender. He's nice. He's got a rebound. He can shoot. Nice. No, I think Nurkic is plateaued. That's my problem with it. He's 23, and I think he's as good as he's going to get.
Why?
He hasn't developed in like 2 years.
What are you talking about? He moved last year. Was it last year? He moved over to Portland?
No, it was 2 years ago, wasn't it? No, it was 2 years ago.
Hey,
he's
Peter.
Had two playoff runs with them.
Like Peter, if you talk about anybody with an itch at the end of their name, Hugo is going to destroy you, okay?
Oh my God,
true. I do have an affinity for my Yugoslavian guys, but no, seriously though, I think
he's a good player. Don't get me wrong, he's a very good player. He's a solid defender. I just think he's plateaued. I think he's hit his ceiling. I don't think he's going to get any better.
Peter, you're crazy. You can't say that after a season and a half with the team. In a season and a half, that he's been like the third best player by far.
Yeah.
Still only 23, and he's a beast. Like, he moves so fast for a guy who's, I don't know, 7 feet, 300-something pounds.
Not as fast as Zach Collins, who's also 7 feet and a lot lighter.
He moves faster than Zach Collins.
No, he doesn't. He's not Myers Leonard here, man. Come on.
You should set up a beep test and see who does better.
Yeah.
Just run sprints.
Man, he's got quick feet.
I'm not saying he's bad. I'm just saying I'd rather have Zach Collins' potential than Yusuf Nurkic's ceiling.
I think you guys are missing somebody.
Say like Seth Curry or Stauskas, man, I'm gonna be so pissed.
My fellow Canadian brother Nick Stauskas. Jeez. I think you also have to consider Alfa Camino because he's on a $7 million a year contract. He's the type of guy that every team would like. He's a stretch four that played really well in the playoffs, and his defense was really good last year.
He's only still young, though.
True.
He's 27.
Is he older?
He's 27.
27?
But he's got a year left. So even if you secure him for the next year, there's nothing to stop him from leaving. That's the only reason I didn't keep him.
I meant more so in terms of quality of player. I think that he might have more value than both of those guys right now. But I chose Zach Collins, too. I like Nurkic as well. But I don't know. I mean, Zach Collins is, 20 years old, and he's showing all the signs that he could be like a stretch four or five, and he's played really pretty good defense in his first year, too. So he just has to figure out the NBA game, and then he should be a pretty good player. But I'm not sure if Nurkic has tapped out in terms of his potential yet, but and he has shown good signs on defense as well. But where the game is going, I'm not sure if he fits against a lot of teams as well. So it's hard to say.
I take that point, yeah. His style of play is a little bit different from today's game, I guess, but
it's dated.
I don't know. I don't know how you can say. I think it's ludicrous to say he's tapped out of potential at 23 and a season and a half into Portland, in which he's probably outplayed anyone's expectations coming out of Denver.
No. He outplayed expectations for the first half season. When they traded for him, he had an incredible playoff run. I'll give him that. Last year, he was a mediocre player.
I don't know. I got to go check the stats, but. I didn't see a big drop off. It couldn't have been that big. Didn't he have a double double or close to a double double or something?
He wasn't bad, but he didn't develop that much. Like, I thought he was going to be a lot better last year than he actually was.
Yeah.
He was 14-9. So close to a double double.
That's solid, man. In the Western Conference, as a 23-year-old, I don't know. To each his own.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to Sacramento. Hugo, this one's you.
Oh, here we go. Let's go with some more itches.
Yeah. I know who you're picking first.
You do not. Who am I picking first?
Oh, come on. Get out of here.
It's an itch.
Easily first pick, Vlade Divac. No, I'm kidding. Wow, I went Bagley. Yeah, Bagley's my first guy. Bogdanović, Fox, I guess, the second, and Bogdanović added my third, but I was having a hard time deciding between Bogdanovich and Giles. Giles looks kind of good. He might be able to do some things. It's going to be official this season, so.
Yeah, and Giles was the number one rated player out of high school a couple of years ago. And in summer league, he actually showed a lot of stuff, too. Like, he looked really good. And I know he's had, like, two really serious knee injuries, but based on his summer league, like, he looks like he's back, and he's worked really hard to get back, and he has the full skill set to be, like, a very good player in the NBA. So he's probably their best prospect, I think, right now. So I chose him as my second guy. I think Bagley's number one right now, just based on, you know, him coming out of college at such a high level of play. And he could be anything. Like, he can be molded into a lot of different things, but I'm not sure he's in the right organization to do so. I don't know if his game's going to take off until he gets moved, to be honest, unless they change their overall, you know, their organization from top to bottom, really.
Yeah. Who's your third, Josh?
I chose Fox, but honestly, I wanted to choose Bogdanovich because right now he is their best player. And he showed a lot of things last year. Like, he's really good in the pick and roll. He's a really good spot-up shooter. His defense isn't there yet, obviously. He's 25 years old, so he might be near his max potential, but his max potential is really good. Like, he's a really good player. And I don't think Fox has shown enough so far to be considered one of their top prospects. I know he's really quick, and he can do some things off the dribble, but he hasn't shown himself to be a good passer yet. He's not a good shooter, and he hasn't really played any good defense yet, so what is he? He's a project. So I would take, even though I chose De'Aaron Fox, I probably, now thinking about it, probably would take Bogdanovich.
Yeah.
I had Bagley, Giles, and Bogdanovich.
Yeah, I had the exact same three. I didn't even consider Fox, to be honest. And the league is so point guard heavy that it wouldn't be hard to find a replacement for Fox if someone else took him.
That's a good point, yeah. I think one thing about Bogdanovich for me is that he's played in Europe for so long, and he's 25, that he's gotten used to the way they play, so there's a lot more ball movement, off-ball play. It's a lot less ball dominance and selfish play, so I feel like he'll have to get the biggest adjustment I think he can make in the next few years. I think skill-wise, he's pretty much as good as he's going to be. But I think the biggest adjustment he could make is just learning how to play the NBA game more, which is kind of hard to do with a bunch of young guys like Fox and stuff. But like, if they find a way to get him to just control the ball more, have more touches, he could see his numbers go up a little bit.
That's why they brought Zebo in, just to teach these young guys how to play, how to be a pro's pro.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Bogdanovich is like the only player on this team that you could say that could make a contribution to a winning organization right now, that could be like a playoff level performer, because I don't think any of the other guys are ready. And he looks like he can play 20 to 25 minutes for any type of team in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Josh, I think you're the most fitting person for this new San Antonio team.
Okay, I'm going to try not to trash them right now. So first pick, obviously, is LaMarcus Aldridge. Second pick, even though I really don't like him, DeMar DeRozan.
Yes!
And third pick, I think you have to choose DeJounte Murray, obviously.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Rudy Gay. Oh, man.
You know what? All right, I'm going to hate on him now. having DeRozan and Rudy Gay in the same lineup this year is going to be so fun to watch for me, just to see them fail spectacularly.
I think
their win-loss total this upcoming year is like 45 games or something like that.
Yo, it's low.
They're going under 40 this year. Mark it down. They're going under 40. They have no shooting in this lineup, and these three chuckers in the mid-range, they're just not going to work.
They have Bellinelli and Dante Cunningham.
Oh, everyone's scared of him.
No, Rudy Gay can shoot threes.
Can he?
No, legit, he can shoot threes.
Look up his percentages the last 10 years, and you tell him if he can shoot threes. He had a same problem on Memphis, too. That's why they traded him.
Let's see. Last year, Rudy Gay was
31%. And he's shooting like two a game. What is it?
Last year, 31. The year before, 37.
On what? Two shots a game?
At 37%, he was at 3.8. Last year, he was at 2.1, but he was also injured last year. No, he's injured two of the last years. Damn, Rudy.
He's just not a player you can count on in the first place. And his game, like, he needs the ball to be effective, which all three guys are the same way, and they play from the exact same area in the mid-post. So I just don't see how Popovich is going to make this lineup work, but we'll see if he can work his magic again.
It's going to be a mid-2000s ball all over again, man.
Seems like it. It seems like they always end up in the top five on defense, so that's the only way they can get in the playoffs, I think. But I know they have two guys that can average over 20 points a game, but I just don't see how the rest of the lineup's going to work.
They've got a lot of length, at least, to play D. Right? Between Murray, Aldridge, and what's his name, Rudy A, all really long players. Gasol will do Gasol things and just eat up space in the paint and try to get, like, blocks or deflections.
Yeah, but Gasol is like 38 years old now, and then you're bringing in a very, very minus defender in DeMar DeRozan playing 36 minutes a game. Yeah. So as good as DeJounte Murray is on defense, he's not going to be able to make up for DeMar's lack of defense.
Jakob Poeltl is going to have to be the anchor on defense.
He's pretty good.
Love Yuck. I hope he gets some play time. I think Popovich will find him some play time for sure. He can play. Can't believe how much I agree with Josh on these picks. This is amazing. In all seriousness, I agree though. Like, it's tough to see how Pop will make it work this lineup, but it'll also be kind of fun to watch because if anybody can make it work, it's him. So we'll see. Yeah. I was thinking like when I was making the lineup, if it wasn't for Pop, like probably finishing off his NBA career in the next couple of years, I think they would be better off blowing it up, and I'd pick three young guys to fill those spots. Because okay. It's like an odd team, and they're like Aldridge and DeRozan get paid a lot of money.
Yeah.
And they're not going to do anything in the playoffs, even if they make it, which is unlikely.
Especially DeRozan.
Get at it.
Yeah, they all make absurd amounts of money. Okay, let's assume that Pop retires at the end of this coming year. How would this change your perception of the lineups? Who would you take instead?
I'd just take three young. I'd probably take DeJounte Murray, their first pick, Lonnie Walker, maybe Poeltl or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I wouldn't take any of the high salary guys. I'd just let them walk. They're not going to do anything anyway, so.
Yeah.
Wow, turning your back on DeRozan.
No, I love the guy, but I don't see how they fit together. And if you're the Spurs, like, you're looking at for a new chapter, a new beginning, I don't know.
Yeah, otherwise they'd be a classic treadmill team.
Well, they are that anyway, and they're going to be the next 3 years, so.
Yeah, that's true, at least until DeRozan and... Oh, DeRozan, Aldridge, and Mills all end at the same time. Interesting. So 2021 is when all these guys finish their tenure as a Spur.
Yeah, and by that point, Tony Parker's going to be the coach.
Yeah, the man... Probably will be an all-star again. He'll still be playing.
Like 45. All right. Last but not least, we're going to Utah. And I think this one was pretty easy for myself, at least. I took Donovan Mitchell. I took Rudy Gobert. And I took Joe Ingles. I think it's probably the most well-balanced three out of any of the three that we picked so far. Amazingly defensively. They're all good at their roles. Ingles is a knockdown shooter. Gobert eats up the paint. And Mitchell is on a rookie contract, and he's an absolute monster already. I think this one is pretty easy.
Yeah, I had the same three guys. I love how well balanced the team is, how well the coach finds the guys, the roles, and they all accept them. Yeah, it's pretty good team to watch that way.
Josh?
Yeah, I have the same three guys as well, but I think there is a case to be made for Ricky Rubio. He is a couple years younger than Joe Ingles. I think Joe Ingles is 30 years old. Ricky Rubio is 27. But in terms of being able to replace one of them, I think it is hard to replace Joe Ingles. And I think in the playoffs, with Donovan Mitchell taking over more of the point guard responsibilities, like he showed himself that he was able to take more of the usage and still be a very productive player in the number one role and taking over the number two role, really, with Ricky Rubio. So, and Joe Ingles has really improved the last 2 years. Obviously, he's maybe the best 3-point shooter in the NBA, percentage wise. He's not better than Steph, but in terms of shooting wide open threes, he's up there. Yeah. And he's been really good on defense the last couple of years as well, as you said. And he's a pretty good ball handler as a secondary guy as well. So I think, he just knows how to use angles and get to his spots and shoot those little floaters in the lane and get Gobert open. So I think he would be the third guy.
He's such an under control player. Like, he controls the tempo. Like, he doesn't play too fast, but he's got like an awkward play, and it works so well. Like, he can do so many things so well. Yeah. So fun to watch.
Have you ever heard him talking in like interviews and stuff? That's hilarious.
Oh, I might.
Yeah.
Man, all Aussies and New Zealanders seem pretty funny. They're all pretty laid back. Like.
Yeah. He was saying, I think his wife is like a professional swimmer or something, like some sort of athlete. And whenever they're in Australia, she's the one who gets recognized all the time. So he's like, yeah, you know, I'm just like walking around with my wife. I'm like 6'8", like a tall white guy. And she's the one that gets recognized all the time. I don't do shit. Just like hangs out. That's a funny
He's thing. Also super average looking. Like, he doesn't look like an athlete at all.
No, he just looks like a dude. Like, he looks like he should be playing at the Y.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's about it, unless you guys have any other points.
No, that was pretty fun. Good.
Yeah, so that wraps up all of our expansion draft theoreticals, I guess. So please remember to rate and subscribe. You find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, all the podcast networks. And until next time, peace.